शूल्यकाल शरा शरा जन्म मृत्योर यथा पश्चात प्राण एवं अधिनापितो O King, both you and us, your advisors, wives, and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, this situation did not exist, and after our death, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation now is temporary, although it is not false. Bhutaya bhutkani bhutesha srijajyat pabihanti cha atma sristaya asvat pankaya anapeksho vibhalava. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master and proprietor of everything, is certainly not interested in the temporary cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, just as a boy at the beach creates something in which he is not interested, the Lord, keeping everything under his control, causes creation, maintenance, and annihilation. He creates by engaging a father to beget a son. He maintains by engaging a government or king to see to the public's welfare, and annihilates the agents for killing, such as snakes. The agents for creation, maintenance, and annihilation have no independent potency, but because of the spell of the illusory energy, one thinks himself the creator, maintainer, and annihilator. These verses are being spoken by Shri Narada Muni. He is speaking to Maharaj Chitraketu. Chitraketu Maharaj was a great king, and he was receiving the darshan of these great personalities for so many years, but he never really heard what they were saying. There is a difference between hearing with our mind and our intelligence and receiving the word of God in our hearts. Until our heart is suitably situated, like a properly plowed agricultural field, the seed of God's words will not be able to take root. As you know, if you put a seed on stony ground, there is no place for the roots to set. So what happens is the seeds become like sprouts, and gradually they are burned up by the sun. Similarly, a heart that is not properly situated to be submissive, to hear the word of God. The word of God enters our heart, but there's no place for it to put its roots. Therefore, our determination is soon to wane, and therefore we will not pursue on the spiritual path. When difficulties, when tribulations come our way, we lose our faith because we have no roots. So similarly, Maharaj Chitraketu, although he was a very pious man and a very religious man, whenever the sadhus would come to visit him, he would offer them a nice sitting place, he would give them nice drinking water, He would wash their feet with his own hands. He would drink that water. He would give them all gifts. He would ask them to speak. He would hear from them. And on a certain level, he was following what they were saying. But their words never really took root in his heart to give realization and detachment. So because of this, although he was such a religious man and such a good person in every respect, he was very much materially attached. He could not overcome his material attachments, despite all of his good qualities. And what was his greatest attachment? That he wanted a son. Because he felt that as a king, no one would carry on the family dynasty unless there is a son that is born. So his whole world was like a dreary void, bereft of a child. He had several wives, and he tried on many occasions. But man proposes, God disposes. With all of his wealth, with all of his influence, with all of his power and his armies, he could not bring one child into this world. So he was miserable. So he was thinking, what is the use of this big, big royal castle that I'm living in, and all these beautiful wives? The one thing that I want, I cannot have. And I can't buy that with all my money. And with all my armies and powers, I cannot get one son. This is the limitation of worldly prestige and money. The things we really want, they can't give us. And the things that we want to really protect, they cannot save. So when Narada, or Angira Muni came in, and while you are in such a state of lamentation, I want some. All right, we gave him some special prasad. He said, you give this to your favorite wife, you will have son. But you think that will make you happy? Yes, definitely. No, definitely not. You can name your son Harshashoka, which means he will give you happiness, but then he will give you distress. Because everything in this world that brings happiness also brings distress. If you want to enjoy this world, that means you want to suffer. Because there's no difference. Happiness and distress are interchangeable. He said, little distress, I don't mind. Maybe you'll cry and keep me up at night. Maybe you'll be naughty. It's all right. I can tolerate it. So, a son was born. He was very blissful. He was so happy. He was jubilant. There was big celebrations and festivities throughout the entire kingdom. Everyone was so proud that the king has a beautiful son. There is a prince that has been born. And he was just waiting the day. From the very sight of this infant child, he was just waiting the day when he would be old enough so he could turn over the crown and the throne and everything to him. That was going to be the happiest day of his life. So everyone was very happy. But, you know, in this material world, the nature of this place is, to the degree one person is happy, one person becomes unhappy. It's like recently there was elections in the United States, and the Democratic Party won. They were very blissful in their mundane sense. But to the degree they were blissful, the Republican Party was totally suffering. Huh? Clinton was very happy, smiling, and tears of agony were rolling down the face of Mr. Bush. Huh? So this is the nature of the world. To win means somebody has to lose. To succeed means somebody else has to fail. To find pleasure means somebody has to suffer pain. Huh? So although King Chichiketu and his wives, they were so blissful, the other wives were so envious. The more you succeed in this world, the more people become envious of you. In any field, the more accomplished and respectability you get, the more the opposite also is there, envy. The more people want to tear you down by hook or by crook. Huh? It is a fact. And yet people are so much aspiring for that position where people are going to hate you and envy you and want to try to tear you down, try to assassinate you. Huh? Can you imagine? It's like they work so hard to become prime ministers or kings or presidents, and then they need secret agents all around them with guns and security guards and bulletproof glass automobiles with chauffeurs and bulletproof vests they have to wear. Huh? And they're always fearing somebody's going to kill me, somebody's going to hijack me. Huh? This is considered a very high position, a position of total fear and suffering. And yet they can't give it up. They're so attached to it. They can't give up. They can't give up their suffering. It's like today was saying, someone was asking me about the nature of society. And I was saying, today's society is suicidity. Everyone is crazy. They're just torturing each themselves with all of their attachments. Self-destructive. So anyways, these queens, they were so burning with envy. Look at this other queen is getting all the king's attention. He's getting all his sidelong glances and all of his affection and everything. And this is very bad, because we deserve it. And we cannot have this child. If we can't have a child, nobody should have a child. Isn't this material consciousness? If we can't succeed, nobody should succeed. But no one should be better than me. If I can't help someone, no one should help anyone. Huh? So, they fed poison to the child. Helpless. Helpless child. What can he do to defend himself? Finished. King Chichiketu was so sad. When he heard the news, he was lamenting so terribly. He couldn't eat. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't rule his kingdom. He was just laying on the ground crying, trying to get up and falling, trying to get up and falling. To the exact extent he was happy, he was now miserable. So Angira Muni with Narada came. Ah, King Chitraketu, what is this? You had your child. Yes. He said, I told you, he was Harsha Shoka. He would give you happiness and distress. He said, but I didn't think like this. So here Narada Muni is instructing him. But you see, Narada Muni was instructing him, but he was so much infatuated and predisposed by his anxiety and his grief, he could not hear a word of it. So Narada Muni, being very merciful, he brought the child back to life. And he said, huh, Maharaj Chitraketu? Ashoka, why you have done like this to your father? Ashoka, little boy, he began to speak. He said, did what to what father? He said, your father. He's trying to speak to his father. Father, I don't want to hear this story. This is not my type of story. Get me out of here. Father said, yes, whatever you say. This is my friend. He's speaking. I already know this story. So, the son, he looked. What father? Which father? Do you know I've had 8,400,000 fathers? Every species of life I have a father. An insect, I had father and mother. They were very nice. They took good care of me. Little mosquito, father, mother. Mataji was very... She took good care of me. Huh? And then, as worm, very nice mother. We had nice home, huh? And then as snake, and then as raccoon, and then as bird mother, father, they taught me how to fly, they would bring me worms, very nice family life. And then so many species of fishes, and monkeys, and now I'm a human being. So many 400,000 different human bodies I've had, each one, mothers, fathers. Which father are you talking about? The monkey father? Huh? The lizard father? Which father are you talking about? This one? I don't remember him any more than any of the others. Once you leave your body, you forget all of them. Huh? God has called me to another place. The will of God must be done. It is the divine plan of Krishna, Lord Narayan, that he has petitioned me to another destination. So why do I have to stay here? I'm being elevated. Why do you want me to stay in this rotten place? King Chitraketu was listening to all this. But when he was listening, his heart was fertile. But you see, it was all the tears of his agony that made his heart soft. It was all his frustration that he was not able to control his own destiny that made his heart very soft. And just by hearing the words of his son, in conjunction with the words of Narada Muni, he became a self-realized soul. He said, all right, my son, go wherever you have to go. And his son said, Haribo, and left. And then King Chitraketu had such firm conviction. What am I doing? What am I doing? I'm simply wasting my life. Attaching myself to these temporary objects of the sense. The eternal world of Vaikuntha is within me, and I'm neglecting that all my life. And he began to perform such sincere spiritual devotional practices. And in a very short time, he had direct darshan of Lord Shankarshani, the Supreme Personality of God. He attained the highest state, pure love, liberation. So you see, we should not be afraid of difficult circumstances in life. Nor should we lose hope or heart when these occurrences come. Because the fact is, if we simply, like Maharaj Chitraketu, keep the association of saintly people, then whatever situation comes into our life, we will grow, we will develop, and we will come closer to God. It is a fact. Happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, success, failure, they are all inevitable. Birth and death are inevitable. Cannot avoid it. No one has ever been able to, no one ever will, on this material plane. but if we have the good association of saintly people, and we're trying to hear what they say, and trying to do what they say, and all the circumstances in life that we go through will only make our heart a more fertile field for the seeds of their wisdom to grow and to bring us closer to God and closer to the truth and closer to the natural joy that we are all seeking, birth after birth after birth. It's intense. We can do it today, or it may take millions and millions of more births and millions of more creations of frustration before we come to that point. But ultimately, we will. So why should we waste time? Now is the best time. In fact, now is the only time. The past and the future are all hallucinations. They have no existence. Only the present is a reality. So now is the only time to turn to God. Isn't that what? One process. But there is another process where you center your parents and your children in Krishna. By uniting in the name of God and loving one another in the name of God, same effect is achieved. Afterlife means that the family, you're supposed to love everyone. So why not your parents? And why not your children? A saintly person loves everyone, even his worst enemy. Isn't that what it says in Gita? If you want to love God, you have to learn to love every living being. Does that mean you love your enemy but not your parents? Huh? Means you love everyone. Because you're focusing your service in God, service to Krishna, in all of your relationships. Only then is there any love. Without Krishna in the center, it is not love at all. It is only attachment. When Krishna in the center, that same attachment is transformed into love. Prahlad loved his father, Hiranyakashipu. His other brothers were simply attached to the father. They were doing everything the father wanted out of material affection. Prahlad was doing everything he didn't want out of love. Huh? Prahlad's brothers had material affection for Hiranyakashipu, and they were doing everything he wanted to please him, but there was no question of love. Prahlad was disobeying all of his instructions, but he loved him. What was the difference? Because Prahlad's relationship with his father was in knowledge of God. Therefore, there was true love. And at the time of death, Hiranyakashipu's other sons could not do anything to help him. But by Prahlad's prayers, he was liberated. Huh? So that is real love. Sentimental affection may give a little superficial peace of mind, but it dies with the body. But real love gives a person eternal nourishment, and it lives forever. So yes, we should learn how to really love our parents and really love our children. But Hare Krishna as the unifying force between us. Any other questions? Is complete. Affection is incomplete. Because our existence is threefold. We have a body, we have a mind, we have a soul. We are the soul. And this soul is encaged within a body and a mind. Now, the body has needs, the mind has needs, and the soul has needs. Love means to bring about an expression, a service for the welfare of a person on all three levels. Because any two or one is not love. It's with worldly affection. And it's actually quite useless. Just like, for instance, sometimes we see in society, parents are very concerned with one of the two of the material elements. A parent will give the child all kinds of money and give all child all kinds of good food and give a child all kinds of nice clothes. It's all for the body. But no encouragement, no feelings of affection for the mind, right? So ultimately the child's miserable. It's just like a spoiled child. Has all physical things, but no mental support. We have seen in our country, parents get divorced. And the child, his mind is split in two. It's totally devastated. It's crushed. But yet the mother gets a big alimony, and he has all kinds of money, and he has all fast cars, and he has big house. But his mind is just ripped apart because of the insecurity of the divorced parent. Huh? So what kind of love is that? They're thinking that the mother and father think, it doesn't matter we divorce, because we're going to be giving him all this money, and we're going to give him this big education, we're going to give him all these things. Everything for the body is there, but because nothing's there for his mind, is that love? They're neglecting his need. It's not complete. But we also have a soul. And material life means even the best parent to give all affection to the body. They work so hard to get money and to have a nice place, to give good education, and they're very kind to the child and very encouraging to the child. The body and the mind are being served very nicely. But what about the soul? The soul is starving. The soul is lonely. The soul can only be nourished by coming in unification with God. Unless the parent gives that also, it's not real love. It's affection. It's material affection and it's incomplete. And similarly, a child for the parent. A child may give the parent a place to stay. A child may be nice to the parent, but unless that's for the body and mind, but unless that child is giving the parent a unity with God, it's incomplete. It's not love, it's affection. Real love is complete service in knowledge of what that person needs. Affection based on that principle. Real love is seated in God consciousness. And that was the difference between Prahlad and his other brothers. The other brothers, Prahlad knew that what his father needed. And even though his father tried to torture him and kill him in so many ways, Prahlad was simply praying for his father's happiness. Eternal happiness. And ultimately, by Prahlad's prayers, his father achieved eternal happiness. So that is the purest, highest, truest sense of love. And it is the only real love. Because love originates in God. And it flows through those who know God and who submit themselves to God. And real love is eternal. It does not end with bodies, either with the lover or the beloved. Real love is the exchange between the soul and other souls in knowledge of God. That is material affection. We should be grateful and appreciative to anyone who is offering us that. And we should also give others that to our capacity. But we must be striving for perfect love and striving to give perfect love to others. And in this age of Kali Yuga, the simple and wonderful means that God has given us to awaken that true, pure, unmotivated love is to chant Krishna's holy names. And when we chant the name of God, we are giving the most intimate, blessed charity to others. We are giving them the ways and the means by which they could learn how to truly love and be loved.